thousands of Angela Semple have been healed. Yes, hundreds of thousands have been healed in and through Angela Semple, and we know that we've been healed. We feel tolerantly toward the people who deny divine healing, some, and rather exasperated, too. Something like the dear old preacher who preached the blood of Jesus and preached the miraculous power of the gospel all his life. His son, who was called to the ministry, he sent to a modern preacher factory, a place where they teach hard criticism. And it was quite exciting when the son came home. He said, "Well, Dad, I'm ready now to preach." So the father gave him rather preference. He said, "Well, all right, my son will preach in the morning, and I'll follow and preach at night." And in the morning, the son preached. So it's modernistic, higher critical, evolutionary sermon, denying the power of God and the blood of our Savior. The father hung his head in shame and bewilderment. And so the father had to follow that night. And he looked all through the Bible for his text. And he got up and he said, "My friends, I've chosen as for text tonight, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic." And, you know, we really feel that the people who deny divine healing, in the face of all this cloud of witnesses, might well be classed in the same category. We rejoice in the Lord that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. However, to attain your healing, it is necessary to give your life to Christ, body, soul, and spirit. Like the little lady who testified some time ago. How old did she say she was? 16? 15. Who was carried in here. She said, "Do you remember me, sister?" She had a smile on her face. She said, "No, I guess you wouldn't. I haven't been in Los Angeles for 10 years. And I was 1 year old when I was carried here, and I was carried on a feather pillow, the entire top of my head covered with cancer. And Jesus healed me. I stayed here," she said, "till I was 5. And she said, "as a little girl," she said, "and she watched me, and she listened to me. She said, "You were my idol, and I took you in, but when I was 5, I gave my heart to Jesus." And she remembered what she learned here. Now she's been out preaching in evangelistic work. Think of it, a child evangelist. Only praying for more strength to carry on. So in coming to Christ for healing, promise him your life, your body, soul, and spirit. After all, you have nothing to lose. Have you ever heard of a cattle attender who was one time a poor boy? And he gave his sister a promise. He said, "Now, little honey, if you'll take care of the cattle today while I go to town, I'll let you hold a coin all day tomorrow. You can hold it from sunrise till sunset." It was a very small coin, less than 1 anna. And she cared for those cattle as if her life depended upon it. True to his promise, he let her hold the coin, the first she'd ever held, in her hand all day from sun up to sundown. And then he took it back. When he was finally a great South American cattleman and immensely wealthy, he used to laugh over that story about the sister held the coin and he took it back. And a preacher spoke up and he said, "Just wait a moment. You're not so far ahead of your sister. If you have millions down here in Buenos Aires, because though God has given you wealth now, or you've attained it, you can only hold it for a day, from sun up to the sunset of life, and then it's taken from you, and you go out no richer or poorer than you were before, except for what you've sent ahead to heaven." Friends, let's give our lives to Jesus Christ. Let's really become healed in Jesus. He said, "Well, I intend to do it." But brother, don't intend to do it. Tonight, step right out and be born again. If you're a backslider, tonight be reclaimed. Tonight be healed. Have you ever seen, in London, England, I presume some of you have, the statue, the equestrian statue of St. George? That horse always vaguely annoys me. I think it's a wonderful bit of artwork. But the horse has one foot lifted, one forefoot, as though just about to take a step. And I go back there 10 years later and the horse still has his foot up. ready to take a step, but has never taken it. And the last time I was back there, I guess the horse needed cleaning, the birds had built some nests in his ears. And there was a horse just ready to start something that he never done anywhere. I know lots of people like that. They have their front foot up. They're just ready to go, but they never go. To start evangelistic work or mission work or giving to God or doing something. My God, make us a doer. Not only a promiser, but help us to stand up for the Lord Jesus. He said, well, sister, do you think that the Lord would, if I take a jump tonight on his promises, will they hold for salvation and healing? I know they'll hold. I don't know how many of you people swim. I wish I could swim a good deal more than I do. I love to swim. For me, it's the most healthful exercise. Trouble is, I attract too big a crowd wherever I go, so I've pretty well given it up. But it's a wonderful thing to swim. And those who swim here will bear me out in this. I used to teach swimming a little bit. The first thing that you must teach your students is that the water will hold them. Say to them, stop fighting the water. Trust the water. It will hold you up. Use all that energy to get somewhere. And then you finally get them to just lie back and do nothing. And hands and feet go. And then when you find the water will hold you, for it will, use all that energy to get somewhere. Amen? And, oh, I wish tonight you could just rely on the Lord. Remember the story I so often tell about the man here at Santa Monica who fell over the Palisades years ago in the dark, and he was scared to death. He'd seen those Palisades. He knew they were quite tall. And he hung on for grim death to one little root that was there. He said, oh, God, don't let this root go. Oh, God, help me. That I'll be dashed to pieces. And he couldn't see a thing, one of those pea soup bugs that rolled in. And he hung on and finally said, I can't hold a second longer. I can't, I can't. And he let go and he fell. Exactly 3.5 inches. If you give in to God, friends, you won't have far to fall. The Lord will hold you fast. He is the great physician. He is the great healer. Amen. Poor man sitting down there holding his head tonight. I know God can touch that eye. But the steel has sliced right through it and the magnet, ouch, pulled it back out again. How awful. But Jesus is the great physician. And there's healing in his wings. Let me read you and illustrate swiftly to you a beautiful story in the Word of God. And then just promise me now that you'll make some progress tonight. Don't simply say you're going to trust God. Trust God tonight. And believe in his wonderful word. I'm reading from Luke chapter 13, beginning at the 11th verse. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath and said, there are 6 days when men ought to work in them. Therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. And the Lord answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to be watered? Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, who hath bound? Lo, these 18 years, ought not this woman to be loose from this infirmity, this woman whom Satan has bound. Glory to God. And when he had said this, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by him. Here stands, we'll say, a woman of today. And body straight, body strong, head erect, young woman able to do things for God. How the devil likes to bind people with habit, sin, and sickness. I see the old devil come in. And as he came to the woman of the long ago, And he said, my lady, you're to be bound. Uh-oh. The first thing he puts on her is a cap. He said, I'm going to get your mind. Say, have you any idea how many people have their mind bound tonight? I mean, you don't need to go clear to Patton or Sacramento or wherever, Stockton, wherever the place is. Norwalk. Oh, the minds that are bound. Ought not these people whom Satan hath bound to be loosed? He said, well, I think it's the will of God. Go on with you. You don't believe it's God's will to make people insane. Why, God have mercy on my son, he's a lunatic, if you do. No, it's God's will that we have clear, straight, clean minds. Amen. This woman whom Satan has bound. Look, Satan comes in again. And he said, now, it's my will that she cannot see. Funny thing, brother, I didn't know you were going to be prayed for your eyes and if you can see what I'm doing or not. But here enters Satan and puts on a pair of dark glasses on this person he's binding. Is that all right? He said, now, there go your eyes. Spark of steel, or the other brother came up and testified so finely in behalf of the injured brother tonight. How Christ had made him whole. Your eyes are out. You're bound. Satan's busy. Oh, but thank God, in the Bible, the Lord healed the lunatic. He healed the blind. He restored their vision. But Satan was back and he said, I'll bind her even more so. I'll stop her ears. And she shall not hear. I've made stoppers here. I'm going to have one for the left ear, one for the right ear. And now instead of the voices of human beings, just a roaring instead of voices. Gone the old familiar faces. Gone the old familiar sounds. Whom Satan has bound. Friends, he'd like to stop up your ears. I don't believe it's God's will that you be deaf. Because the Bible said that Jesus walked up and says, our deaf spirit come out of him. The Lord didn't make any to-do about who was the cause, the original cause of sickness. He said he went about doing the works of God and destroying the works of the devil, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And the devil comes in again. And he binds this woman all so securely. He says, I'll bind her arms all up with arthritis here. I'm not going to let this woman get away from me. Think I'll have her become a church worker and be down there winning souls and visiting the county hospital and the county farm and holding those street meetings and going to LIFE Bible school and singing in that choir and praying in the prayer tower and helping in the commissary. No, sir, I'll cripple her. My, the people that are bound. Phil Curtin, Knight, whose lovely, slender, artistic hands fly over the keyboards of that piano. I don't know if you realize the wonderful man we had in the person of Brother Kerr here. The kindness, they... is absolute... godliness that lives in his heart. And yet the same, fine, clean view that... oh, it just makes the world a better place to live in. He's a lovely wife that people at any church, any radio station would love to have. And yet to think the devil tried to bind him with arthritis. Well, he was so sick it looked as if he couldn't come out to church or stand in the pulpit. And yet he prayed through and the Lord delivered him. Satan comes in again and says, I have your hands tied now, my girl. Now I'm going to tie your feet. Your hand can't possibly go and give any more. Now wait till I tie those legs of yours. Paralysis. And I'm going to draw those bones and those cords. You'll be unable to move. Do you think that's the work of the Lord? The Bible again and again says, ought not this woman be loose whom Satan hath bound. He went about healing the sick and destroying the works of the devil. And I believe there are people here tonight that Jesus wants to just reach out and touch you. You may never become great preachers, but you can be a better husband, a better wife, a better mother, a better father, a better Christian worker. Amen. Because of his touch. Look, Satan has this one inch by inch bound. Now he says, as to the woman in the Bible, I'm going to bind you so you'll have to stoop over. servitor. And lo and behold, he ties this poor girl. And just in no wise can this woman lift herself up. Now that must be painful. 18 years of it. Think of it. For 18 years, this darling never saw the sun. Never could look up in the face of her friends. Bent over. And he just asked the question that I ask my radio audience and ask you. Ought not this woman and all that she represents be meet, whom Satan has found? All right? Bring forth the angel and his word. Thank God salvation comes forth. And says, sister, the Lord God, God frees you. First of all, this mind of yours to be free. And get the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. And the angel of the Lord, another step forward, and says, that your mind is made up in Christ. Kick off these dark glasses that make you think the whole world is hopeless and rotten and nobody loves you and you've got the wrong science. No sick person ever sees right. Anyhow, everybody to see. Another angel comes in, the angel of divine healing, and says, kick these stoppers out of your ears, darling, and hear the word of the Lord. He that is ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Glory to God. Be free in the Lord. And the angel of the Lord steps forward and says, cut loose these bonds here. I touch them with my sword. Be free, for the sword of the word of God is quick and sharp and powerful. Glory to God. Another angel says, here, I'll loose your limbs, and now you're free and straighten up. Daughter, be thou made whole. The Lord thy God has found thee, has set thee free. The glory be of God. Ought not this woman to be loosed? Get the rope off, sister. Don't take it home with you. Leave it right back here. Whom Satan has bound. Somebody said, oh, I wish I could get there. Well, why not go with a jump tonight? She said, Lord, I believe, and fall right into salvation. Now, there is a fountain filled with blood, and you can be saved. Just plunge into divine healing. Stand solid. Go on with God. You know, there's a dear old farmer. Maybe he lived out your way. You heard about him. He used to go to church, and he said, well, I don't know that I'm making much progress, but I can surely say that I am established. And a lot of folks didn't have much faith in his kind of standing still and everything to grow. One day, his mules got bogged down in the mire. And he ruefully sat on top of a load of logs that he was trying to haul out and survey the situation. When a neighboring church member passed by, he said, hi there, Brother Jones. Well, I see you're not making much progress, but you're well established, all right. Brother, get out of that mud. Don't only be established there in your sick bed or in the wheelchair, but let's make progress and get back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a salvation that can keep you every day. It can keep you sweet. It can keep your body. It can make you in all things more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Some time ago, in 1818 to be exact, King Tomato became a Christian. He lived in the South Sea Islands. Many converts found their way to the Lord. He happened to hear that in his own court, there was a plan to kill the king himself because he had become a Christian and to burn to death the balance of the converts. And so, the king laid a plan, and they ambushed and captured their enemies. And the trembling wretches were led before the king. And when they came before the Christian king, they found a great banquet table set. And they were so dumbfounded and aghast to see that after they'd been an enemy plotting to kill the king and all the Christians who had embraced the Lord, had served in a feast. That instead of just sitting down and eating of the beautiful pheasant and the beautiful meal prepared, they first fell down upon their faces and accepted the Christ of King Tomato. friends. We may have been an enemy of Christ for years. We may have even taken the name of the Lord in vain. We may have even backslidden from him, like Peter, and cursed and sworn, taking his name in vain. But tonight, coming home, being captivated, captured by his love, we will find he is not ready to tomahawk you or send you the guillotine of judgment. He has set a banquet before you. And on this table is salvation and healing and the Holy Ghost and the gifts of fruit of the Spirit and love eternal. Glory be to God. You see, well, sister, I think I'm a Christian. I long to the church budget. That isn't enough. Live the life. Be born again. The Duke of Wellington was one time walking along, and he saw a British soldier who was standing in a slouch position. And the Duke stopped and said, "Why are you standing in such an unbecoming attitude?" And the man said, "Well, I'm off duty, sir." "He said," said the Duke, "a British officer or soldier is never off duty. Resume your military standing." Friends, we want a salvation that isn't we're off duty Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And we stand erect on Sunday and sing, "Holy, holy, holy." A Christian soldier is never off duty. Resume your Christian standing. Wherever you go, tell of Jesus Christ and shine for the King of Glory. And if you do, the sap, the light, the springtide flow of healing will go through you. And do you folks know anything about that species of apple called Apple John? Do you or don't you? Well, there is a species of apple known as the Apple John. And it's supposed to be never in perfection until it's shriveled and withered. And some believe that Apple John religion is perfect only when it's thoroughly dried up. And without spiritual power and utterly destitute of sap, of any life or pep or youth or go to it again. I know people say, "My, he's a teacher to the Christians. You talk too loud and you wave your arms." And, well, you know what they'd like to do? They'd like to turn me into a pillar of salt. Wouldn't I look grand up here preaching? Dearly beloved, darling. And I talk to a whole lot of empty seats. I'm glad I am alive. I glory to God. And if you like them dried, why, go hunt an apple, John Preacher. It'll be dry enough for you. Don't come around here. Glory to God. By the grace of God, I feel his life going through me. And I love to tell a story. It will set someone free like this woman who's been bound for so many years. And then, once you are healed, I believe you will go out and help win others. I think that you'll realize that the light that flows into you tonight, that you're anointed and laid hands upon, is not of our giving. It's of divine origin. Oh, bless God. Some years ago, a Moravian missionary did a wonderful deed. He'd gone down among the slaves to bring them to God. He was very disappointed because his work was unsuccessful. The slaves worked and groaned and toiled all day long, so that when at night they were tossed a bit of meat and bread to keep body and soul together for the grueling grind of the next day, they simply gave a grunt and threw themselves down on a straw pallet and were asleep. And the white missionary was nothing to them but another white-collar boss. And he couldn't say his name. And he finally saw that he wasn't making a convert. And he went and willingly gave up his citizenship and sold himself to the slavers. And he came down then with a naked back. And he put his own shoulder under the yoke. And he pulled with the slaves. Then at night, when they toasted their little hunk of meat over the fire, he sat and told them of Jesus. They listened to him because he was one of them. He'd come down to suffer the same misery. And pretty soon one was converted. And then 10 were converted. And then 20 converted. And a revival broke out that has swept on and on and on. Beloved, I believe the moment that Jesus Christ makes himself manifest to you, you'll realize that he himself suffered. He took upon his own body every every pain, every ill, who himself hath borne our infirmities. He's put his shoulder under the yoke. You cannot help but love him and spread the joyful news along. Ought not this woman be loose? This woman of humanity, who's been bound not only 18 years but many more? Then let's put it in practice tonight. Look and live. Shall we pray? My heavenly Savior, I thank you for this great crowd that fills every seat of this building tonight. Now, Lord, let the Holy Ghost come down upon every one of us in real power. Don't move anyone. Here on the main floor first. Everyone close your eyes, please. Will everyone in the center sections lift your hand and will say, Sister, pray for me. I want to be a real Christian. I don't want to be like that statue of King George with the horse. I want to go ahead. Pray for me. Put your hand up. I need Jesus in my life. God knows the troubles I have in my own heart. And I don't maybe have to tell him any other human being, but Jesus knows, and I want your prayer. Put your hands up. How many want Christian prayers tonight? Put your hands up. How many have need Christ? Oh, they're going up all over, all through there. I see them. Over at my right, how many down here need the Lord? Put your hand up. Sister, I need him oh so deeply. Those at the back, put your hands up, way back there, and those that are standing. All right, put them down. Over at my left, how many say, Sister, pray for me? I need Jesus deeply tonight. Put your hands up, please, everyone. That's it. Now, I'll tell you, you can have it. They're simply asking. Now, up in the balcony, the center three sections, will you all lift your hands, please? Everyone up there, lift your hand up high. Come on. Lift it up high. This is just where I need Jesus. I need him in my life. I need him in my home, in my body, in my soul. Now, at my right, these three sections, will you lift your hands, please? Everyone put your hand up. God bless you. Give you courage now. Today, that takes a lot of spunk and manhood and womanhood to do that. Over at my left, will you put your hands up? God, up at my left in the top, in the balcony there. Lift your hands. Come on. Up with them. Hands up. Bless your heart. Now, will everyone who had your hand up please lift it again? Please lift your hand again. Come on, everybody. Now, will you all stand? Everyone rise, please. Stand up in the balcony. Stand up on the main. Everybody stand. Ushers, you help me get these people. You help me now. I'm going to win a lot of converts tonight to Christ. Everyone stand. It says, I need Jesus in my life. I need him to help me. I'll bring them right down the nearest aisle. Just take them by the hand and help them right out. Come on. I want you to come down right with me here. We're going to kneel all along this altar where so many of them. Come on, sister dear. Come on, young man. Come on down from that balcony. Good for you. When you start a thing, finish it. Come on, boys. Come on. Come on, and let's get down on our knees. All the thousands of young men tonight that would give the world if they had a chance to be at a meeting like this, who are other places where they can't get to this meeting. Come on. Jesus is calling you. Jesus does want you. Come on. All right, audience, you sing it. Pass me not.
Thank you.
Sable sister, I may not go to the front, but I still want prayer. I want Jesus. Put your hand up. I may not go to the front. That's right. All right. Will you step out and pray with those people? There's people here tonight. Their lives, I believe this is a deciding moment of their life. Let's all pray the prayer together out loud, everyone. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a needy sinner. And just as I am, I come to you. Lord, forgive my sin. Wash me in thy blood. Make me whiter than snow. Take away the old heart. Give me a new heart. Let me be born again.